Thanks for coming out. Appreciate it. It seems like I haven't been on this platform for some time. This message that I'm going to preach from, I originally spoke this message in 1998. Some of you weren't born. Joel, you weren't born. And as I was going over the message, I was crossing out things that were redundant, things that I shouldn't, I thought at that time were important, and I've kind of fine-tuned it, and I'd like to think, my wife will attest, whether I've grown spiritually around this topic, because this topic probably is one of the ones that is most challenging to me. And I feel a little inadequate in one respect of speaking about it. I want to speak about the tongue, or speech. And when you're speaking amongst people you know, it's a little harder because you know me. When I'm speaking somewhere else, they don't know me so well. But I've struggled with this for many years in my conversation as a Christian sometimes. Because out of your heart is what you speak, right? When someone speaks, I remember going into a meeting many years ago I was working for a company, and we were project managing, and I'd go into these boardroom meetings, and sometimes I'd go in cold. I wouldn't know anyone in the room, and I'd sit down, and eventually, as the meeting started and people started to talk, you started to understand, oh, that's what that guy's like. Oh, he doesn't know too much. Oh, that guy, he's really savvy with this whole project. He's got it all together. It's just because of their conversation. And so we are what we speak in many respects. I just want to introduce, just by a couple introductory comments. Words are the window of our heart. Words are the window of our heart. Words connect me to those around me, to the outside world. And you think of social media today. If you were to go on Facebook, as many of you are on Facebook, I know some aren't, but if you go on to Facebook and you go to a certain person's profile and they're posting many things, it really expresses who they are. Their words, all the words that they're writing and their comments on other posts, it tells a lot about what that person is. Words connect me to God. Words connect me to God. We're going to talk about that a little later on. Words connect God to the world. Words have weight. And finally, wisdom informs words. Wisdom informs words. So you can have godly wisdom or worldly wisdom, and out of those things, you speak. And by the way, worldly wisdom and godly wisdom both produce, move ahead, do things in a right or a wrong way, but they're both productive in anyone's life, if you're a Christian or non-Christian, worldly wisdom or godly wisdom. And it comes out of you. So our passage is James, the book of James. We're just going to read the first 13 verses in James chapter 3, and then we're going to look at one other passage in Matthew chapter 12. James chapter 3 and verse 1. We're just going to go through these verses one at a time. Just going to make some comments on each verse. My brethren, be not many masters or teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, or the idea is a complete man, and able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth, or intendeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With our tongue we bless God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made in the image, or this, it says a similitude in my version, but in the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not so to be. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter water? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt, water, and fresh. Who is wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Let's just finish it right to the end of the chapter. There's only three more verses. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So the first verse we read, first verse says, my brethren, be not many masters. Basically the idea, it's basically what James is saying here is, you that teach publicly or teach in settings, it's of great responsibility. And I take that very personally, because what I'm teaching, I'm directing from this book what I think it says. And it's no small thing. And so he's saying, be not many masters, because there's great responsibility in teaching God's word. And so, does that leave everyone else out here tonight just because I'm teaching and you're not? No, we all have our sphere of influence, no matter if you're a platform preacher or you run a business or you go to school or whatever your vocation is, you have a sphere of influence wherever you are. And your conversation affects either for life, it directs in godly wisdom towards life, or it directs towards death. I don't believe, James is very kind of blunt in his teaching, isn't he? It's black or white. You're either speaking, your conversation or manner of life is either godly or it's of this life, or it's carnal. It has no value. So we all, this passage here, these first 13 verses, speak to all of us on our sphere of influence in our conversation, in our speech, what we say every day. I'm going to get it from my guys after this, because I've spoken harshly to some of them. But it's true. We have an influence to those around us on how we speak. Verse 2 says this, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word or in speech, the same is a perfect man. The idea there is a complete man and able to bridle the whole body. The idea of that is just temperance. We're able to control, by our conversation, we're able to control the whole body in our influence to those around us. Verse 3, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may be able to obey us, and we turn about their whole body. I can relate to this because I grew up on a farm, and we had horses. And some of these horses were 1,500 up in weight, and you would go to the pasture. You had a bridle. We used to ride bareback. We had saddles too, but we always had a mixed bag of horses. We'd go to the sale burns, and we'd buy an old nag, and we'd take it home, and we'd start riding these horses. And oftentimes, when you take the bridle, the bit, which is only about the width of the horse's mouth, it's about maybe 3.5 inches wide, and you come towards the fence line, the horse would pick up on it. And they didn't want that bit in their mouths. And sometimes you'd have to get a little bit of grain and kind of coax them towards the fence line and eventually get the bit in their mouths. And so the idea that James is talking about here is the whole body, the tongue, that small member in your body, which is very small in relation to your whole body, is controlled by your tongue. Your speech, what you say. When we control the tongue by obedience to the word, we are able to live lives of victory. Controlled living. Do you know, sometimes when we're approached by someone and maybe they're a little aggressive, and I know me, very shallow under the surface, I've got a response to them. And it's to kind of counter what they're saying in a very aggressive way. Most of you know me. Just, it lies very close under the surface, that response. It's there. God is looking for step-by-step controlled living. We need to have the urge to do wrong, or that urge to speak out of turn, contrary to being meek. We need to suppress that urge. God's looking for temperance. You see, the horse doesn't want to come to the fence because it'll be controlled. And the flesh doesn't want to be controlled. You see, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit, but it says in this passage, the tongue cannot be controlled by man. If you think you got a handle on your tongue and you can control it in your own strength, you cannot do it. It cannot be done. The passage tells us very clearly. No man can tame the tongue. We've tamed lots of animals in the animal kingdom, but we can't tame the human tongue. And we need external help to control how we talk. Verse 4, behold also the ships, which though be great, are driven by a fierce wind, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. That's a lot of old English, but if any of you have ever been around a big ship, we've had the privilege of being on a few cruises. And these boats are massive. And when they go into a port sometimes, that big boat has to kind of maneuver beside other large ships and just turn itself in. And if this was a port, they just turn themselves in and just very graciously, they come right in alongside it. They don't hit the port. Massive boat. And it's turned by just a very small rudder. And that's what the tongue is. It's controlled. It can control your whole body. That's what James is getting at. Controlled, temperance. This verse says, behold also the ships, though they be great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor intends. Whoever's steering the boat, he can turn it and just turn it exactly where he wants to. And the idea here, who's the governor of your life? Who's the master? Does he have control of turning you? Of molding you? Now, I'll be honest with you. I've had ups and downs in my Christian life in reference to my speech. I really have. But I've been renewed to understand that I need to have a controlled tongue. Do you ever get this from your husband? Do you ever get this from your wife? It's not what you said. It's how you said it. It's your tone. So what I do is I say the same thing softly, like less harsh. But no, she says, you still got that tone. It's how we speak. Controlled. It's temperance. Controlled conversation. Who is controlling your conversation? Verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. How great a matter a little fire kindleth. Fires always start out very small. Very small. Years ago, I had a fire. I owned a campground and I was working at another property and I was burning brush. And I'd burnt brush all day, heaping that on there, and it was dry stuff, it was burning down. So at the end of the day, the fire had just gone down to nothing. When I got there with the last pile, it had kind of petered out. So I threw the brush on and nothing happened, and off I went. Well, I got a call from Parks Canada. That fire had came up, and it had went down a fence line, and it was heading to the national park. And so it was a big fire. It was like within meters of the national park. Federal offense. I actually got charged. My name was in the newspaper. I was charged $250. I thought I just had to go in and pay a fine. But that wasn't the case. I had to sit in the court and go through the whole process because a little fire had gotten large. And it could have destroyed the whole North Shore possibly because it was windy that day. And the fire trucks were there, and they put it out. It started from a little ember. What's the idea of this? Speech can do nasty things. It can hurt people. It can destroy careers. It can destroy your testimony just by what you say. That's what it's saying. Fire starts small. When I was in grade school, we had a football game. And I know back then we had no equipment. But I ended up tackling a big guy, and I got him down. I knocked him down. Well, that kind of spread around grade school. Now all of a sudden, back then, maybe you guys, young people now in school, but back then you had to duke it out to be, you know, the bullies. There was lots of fights. And so I had to start backing up what I did. So I couldn't fight my way out of a wet paper bag. I honestly couldn't. But I talked a big talk. And when I got into high school, I had people wanting to scrap with me. And I'm thinking, how is this possible? Because you know what? I had started with a little lie with my tongue. And it grew up into a big thing. Be careful what we say, how we converse with people, because the tongue is a very powerful weapon. Even so in verse 7, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. James 1:19 says this, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. There's a saying that says this, never miss the opportunity to keep your mouth shut. I sometimes need that. Sometimes that current of the flesh that just lies below the surface spews out. It can't be tamed by you or me. You can't tame your own tongue. Because the flesh still is in us. And so we need external help by the Spirit of God, obedience to the Word of God to tame. We need an outside force to help us because the Scripture says, no man, you cannot control your own tongue. You cannot do it. You need help. And the tongue is a fire, a world of, listen to the description of the tongue. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. What a nasty description of our tongue. That word hell is Gehenna. And Gehenna was a place just outside of Jerusalem where they would dispose of unwanted bodies. It was actually also a place of sacrifice of children. A horrific place. James is comparing our tongue. It was a dump for human refuse. That's what he's comparing our tongue to. Powerful. Powerful language. Verse 7, for every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. What happens in a snake bite? You get a snake bite in your finger, a poisonous snake, gets your arm or your finger. It doesn't just stop there. It goes through the whole bloodstream. Deadly. Deadly poison. That is the tongue among our members. One word can cut someone to the core of their being. Emotionally, a negative statement can shatter someone. We need to build up, not destroy. These are serious words. We do well to learn the teaching of these verses. So he goes into a couple things here about examples about rhetorical things. Therefore, bless we, or ironic things. Therefore, bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. So we could go to the breaking of bread on a Sunday morning and have a word in worship, and Monday morning tear a strip off of someone. And he says, How is that possible? How can that be? How can you profess a Christianity and then do such a thing? He says, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to live like that. I want to look at that last part of that verse. Made after the similitude, or made in the image of God. We have... I tend to gossip about people in the workplace. Project managers that I deal with, I do it often. I need to stop it. Every human soul or person was made in the image of God. What right do I have to run that person down just because I think something? It's not right. I got my mouth, you know, the untamed mouth, speech is just going on sometimes. It's the flesh. It's because I can't tame it and I need extra help. I don't know about you, that speaks to me. Because God looks at individuals the same way as he looks at me. As a sinner, and I was saved by grace. And so every humankind, regardless of whether we put them in a class of that guy's an idiot, or I don't like that guy because he rubs me the wrong way, God, Christ died for them. And how am I going to speak to that person or have a witness if I'm openly running him down? That's just me. I don't know what you do, but I have a tendency to do that. And I need to stop it. Because they're made in the image of God, and God's desire is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And there's a verse that constantly comes to me. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, peradventure, God give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth. Not aggression. It's really a hypocritical thing to do. Verse 10, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. I wrote down this passage in 1 John. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, and is a liar, and the truth is not in him. How do we get a hold of godly wisdom? How does that happen? We ask for it. It says God will give it to us liberally. So we need help. And the help is in his word. Through faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I wrote this down. Faith in God produces life according to the will of God. In our conversation, life contrary to the will of God denies faith in God. If you're talking about worldly wisdom, it's simply wisdom without God. That's what worldly wisdom is. So if we take God out of the equation, then it's about me and what I want to do, and however I'm going to do it, I'm going to get it done. If you take God out of the equation. If it's worldly wisdom, it's all about me. Unfortunately, oftentimes, we Christians act like that. It's all about moving ahead financially. It's all about, it doesn't matter how we get there, we're just going to get there. Because God is not being consulted, so to speak. I don't mean that irreverently. But we're not in prayer. You know, my wife often reminds me of the small things in life. She says, you know, she'll say, well, did you pray about it? I said, well, no, I got it. I don't need to pray about that. It's right there, I'll get it. It's basically asking God to be a part of our lives. So godly wisdom is just bringing God into the equation. And God is saying that he'll give to us liberally wisdom on how to control our speech if we just ask him. That's the difference. It's not complicated. I would just ask you, is that what you do in your life? Do you consult God in everything? That's godly wisdom. This is the one that really nails me right between the eyes. It's not in the passage as such, but it's a question I've asked myself. Do I speak of the Lord Jesus Christ in my conversation with others? Do I speak of the Lord Jesus Christ in my conversation to other people? I'd have to say, oftentimes, I don't. I'm more focused about worldly wisdom, about the world, about vacation, about the jobs, about getting it done. Any interruption in your workplace, in your day, take it from God. If it disrupts the pattern, what you want to do, someone comes to you and has a problem or is distracting you, take it from God. Take the opportunity, when you can, to speak truth into people's lives. He goes on to talk about a fountain bringing forth both sweet and bitter water. He says, like, it's kind of a rhetorical question. James saying, like, can't happen. Why are you doing both? Why is your life showing this through the week and this on Sunday? By the way, I just want to have a little sideline on this. And I'm not just speaking to the young people. I'm speaking to all the men here. This is not a rebuke. It's a challenge. Getting up at the breaking of bread and worshiping is not a gift. It's not a gift. It's a privilege. It's not a gift. There's some that are gifted in the platform, and some you might say after this, well, he's not that gifted. That's your opinion. We're not talking about that. But we're talking about opening our mouths, speaking audibly in worship to the one who loves us. And I challenge, you know, we always kind of go down and get, we're a little hard on the young people, the young men, I feel sometimes in this. We know we're, come on, you got to get up. But what about you older men? What What about the older men that have been saved for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and we never hear from them? I challenge you. This is an exhortation. We need to hear from you. We need you to lead us in worship. And young guys, this isn't a, but just think about just giving a word in season. It's not a gift. It's a privilege. It's an honor to be at that meeting. And so that's just a little sideline. I'm challenging you to speak well about your Savior. He loves you, and he gave absolutely everything he could possibly give. He gave all of heaven, and he commands us to come together and to worship. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Our conversation should not be about us. What's the opposite of being meek? Is being proud. Boastful. The only reason that we're saved is because of the grace of God and the mercy of God, or we'd all be in hell. In meekness. You want to live, you want your conversation to be pleasing to God, then ask God to help you, because you cannot do it on your own. There will be a day when our conversation will be perfect. We'll be made like unto him. We're not there yet. So we need his help. Just in salvation, you couldn't save yourself, so you put your faith in the one that could. And so with our speech and our conversation, we need his help. The tongue, no man can tame. Don't think you can do it on your own. You will fail. You will fail. Trust this has been, I hope it hasn't been, I haven't been harsh. I speak to myself. It's a reminder to me of how I need to operate on planet Earth. And I failed often. But you know, Fennell quoted a verse this morning that is a great verse. His mercies are renewed every day. Start tomorrow relying on God's wisdom on how you conduct your conversation tomorrow. And I bet you this, I guarantee you this, he'll give you opportunity